Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.
Right, let's talk footy. Let's reflect quickly on the Merseyside derby. We've got the Man City game to look forward to as well. So a derby win for Liverpool. A new Liverpool hero made straight away in Big Virgil.
Yeah, very much so. It's, in general, his performance is really interesting. He looked like a footballer who's been watching more of Liverpool's DVDs than Southampton's over the last 3-4 months. I think, you know, you can see he's decided this is the role he's born to play. Came in and immediately decided he was running the defence, which is, I think, what Liverpool supporters and what Jurgen Klopp will have wanted. And does a pretty good job of it. And then obviously, I mean, there's a warning sign for Everton. He wins a header about 15 minutes before the one that comes for the goal. Oxlade-Chamberlain's deliveries last few games have been excellent. I don't want to get carried away on that. I've thought other footballers' deliveries have been excellent in the past, and then they just sort of revert to average. So, you know, I'm not going to say that Oxlade-Chamberlain's a set-piece wizard just yet, but his delivery has been really good recently, and Liverpool have been profiting from it, Burnley away being another example. But I thought that, you know, having someone of that size and presence within the penalty area obviously helps. And I think that's the main thing to point out, is that even if it isn't, I've long been of the view, what you need isn't just one who can win the header, but three or four. And then what that means is they just get tougher and tougher to mark all the time. And I think that Van Dijk will offer that for Liverpool, really, in the opposition area. And then it's a good header. It's there. It's fair retail stuff for Van Dijk. It's heartbreaking for Everton. But I think on the balance of the way in which the game played out, I think Liverpool just about deserved it. I don't think they ever played particularly well, but they grew into the game. I thought that when Everton score, you can't see an Everton goal coming. I think at that point, Liverpool are completely in the ascendancy. But Everton, it's a really good counter-attack, and fair play to Phil Jagielka, who, as I said last night on Matt Jones's show, you know, I think it's about time people take stock of Jagielka's career and can say he's probably one of the most underrated English players the last 10 years. You get to see there one of the reasons why he's so underrated. It's an 80-yard lung-busting run, but he's always had pace. He's always had pace, Jagielka. He's still relatively quick now, especially for his age. But he's always had composure, and you get to see that when he stops on the ball and picks out what is his best option. So I think that, you know, you get to see that there from him, and fair play to him for that. But at that point, Liverpool were all on top. They then took 3-4 minutes, just had to hang on a little bit for 3 or 4 minutes, but then dusted themselves down.
That gave a renewed confidence to Everton, didn't it?
Of course.
Who actually all of a sudden believed that they could create this little piece of history there.
Very much so. But I think that's dissipated within about 5 minutes. And again, I think that's Liverpool are much better at 1-1 than they were at the league game at 1-1. They just sort of compose themselves. They don't decide they've got to throw the kitchen sink at it. They just get through the next sort of 4 minutes. And then they're not quite turning the screw. But again, when at the time Liverpool score, if there's a side that is going to score, it is Liverpool. And I think that that's something Liverpool have done well in these last three games. They've won 2-1, is that they've been the side who looks like they're going to score without necessarily playing mind-blowing football. They play the best football against Leicester, I'd say, when they are creating chance after chance at 1-0 down. But apart from that, you know, Liverpool haven't touched the stars. They haven't been astonishingly good.
No, they've scrapped for a few results, haven't they?
Very much so, and I think that bodes really well. I think, you know, obviously you can't keep doing that. You've got to start playing really well as well at some point again. You've got to start playing like the second best team in the country, which is what I think they are. They're now 17 games unbeaten. But I think you've got to be able to scrap for results, and you've got to be able to pick your moments. And the win at Burnley, I mean, you know, the derby celebration when Van Dijk scores was fantastic, but I was in the away end at Burnley, and it was the sort of celebration that only happens once every 3 or 4 years, and you're not quite sure why that one became one, but it just did, the circumstances of the game.
So you're saying the Burnley celebration was better?
Oh, well better than the
was
Van Dijk celebration. Yeah, miles better.
That's a personal thing though, isn't it?
No, I think for everyone who was in that Burnley end will probably say the Burnley celebration was better. Yeah, of course, it was defiant, it was 94th minute, it was...
Well, you say of course, anyone who was at Anfield at the weekend would have gone Virgil.
Of course,
you know, that's a moment of history.
Very much so, but I think, you know, it was... Burnley was just out of control, it really was, and afterwards you felt like you'd run a mile in 4 minutes. It was exhausting, but it was brilliant. But Liverpool, they get just about getting what they deserve, and I think what they need to start, as I say, they need to improve. They'll need to improve against Manchester City, but Everton felt like I couldn't work out before we played Everton whether or not it'd feel like it was part of that run of games over Christmas, or whether or not it'd feel like a separate entity. And in the end, partially because of the manager's selection, but in general, it just simply felt like part of that run of games.
I was going to say, to me, it's felt like it hasn't stopped.
Yeah.
It's just a one big continuation at the moment.
This is the break. You know, they've gone to Dubai, they've been able to do so. That's the Friday night, this one's the Sunday to come. And I think that's where Liverpool now have got to, they've got to regain some of the previous form, because they will not be able to nudge their way to victory against Manchester City. That won't be an option for them. They're going to have to be on it from the first minute until the last against Man City. And there's going to be, you know, you're going to need to be a really good player to be on that pitch on Sunday, I think. And you're going to need to be a really fit player, I think, as well, to be there on Sunday. And I think that there's going to be very few hiding places for anyone who features for the Reds, because Man City don't leave you with any hiding places the way in which they play the game. They've been, you know, they've ground a few out as well. It's worth pointing out. They have ground a few out. They were behind for a significant length of time in the game against Burnley, even though they go on and win it 4-1. But, you know, it'll be, I don't think, to me, feel there was the Chelsea side in 05-06 that comes to Anfield and wins 4-1. And they just felt so technically and physically dominant that you against Liverpool that you struggled to see a way home. I don't feel the same about this Man City side, even though the record at this stage of the season is similar to that Chelsea team. I think they do give you the opportunity to play a little bit, and I think that when Liverpool do get the opportunity to play, they're going to have to take it. And I'm hopeful it's going to be a terrific clash. I thought that the 1-1 at the Etihad last season was probably the best game I certainly saw last season, whoever was playing, certainly the best game Liverpool were involved in. I thought it was a fantastic game end-to-end throughout, but with just end-to-end, not because there's sloppiness on show, which might have been the case for, say, Arsenal-Liverpool, the 3-3, but end-to-end because there's just genuine quality all over the pitch. And you saw, for instance, Yaya Toure need to get substituted because he couldn't handle the pace. And I think that's what hopefully you're going to get, is a really quick, technically proficient, physically interesting, tactically fascinating game of football.
What was the Anfield game last year? Was that the New Year's Eve game?
That was the 1-0.
That was the Gini Wijnaldum header, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that was a game that was influenced by circumstances. Liverpool needed a win at any cost, but also both sides were shattered. They were 3/4 of the way through the Christmas period, and they'd both fallen off a cliff. As I say, I'm hopeful that we get something that's a little bit more expansive, and we get to see both of these sides properly go at each other. As I say, for all the talk of Man City's unbeaten run, Liverpool are now unbeaten in 17, and that should count for something, and it clearly does. It counts for something against Leicester, it counts for something against Burnley, and it counts for something against Everton.
The press love this idea of being another team that could be labelled Invincibles. The Invincibles too, don't they? But actually, and you just talked about a little bit there, if you think back to Arsenal, which were the Invincibles, they looked an unbelievable team. That you looked at them and you thought, you know, your Vieiras, your Bulge, you looked at them and you thought, yeah, they've got every possibility of going all the way. I don't feel that way about Manchester City.
No, because they give people a chance. And I think but, you know, they could still do it whilst giving people a chance because they attack so well. And, you know, Guardiola was getting pushed at times last season, and it's worth bearing in mind in the context of conversations about our own side, wherein he was being pushed and you know, about the defending, and he said, well, you know, the shape of the defending, and he said, well, I don't like the shape of the attacking. And what he meant there was the way in which the shape of the attack was allowing them to be countered against too easily. And these things take a little bit of time. And I think that this season, at times, people have tried to depict Liverpool as being too aggressive, too attacking in outlook and not solid enough at the back. But I think there's a lot of similarities between Klopp and Guardiola. Mm. Not complete, not total, but I think one of the main ones is the belief in attacking shape helps you defend better. And so with a bit of luck, you know, I think Liverpool need... It's worth pointing out that there's very, very few goals scored from open play against the Reds. It's one of the reasons why Everton's goal on the counter was as impressive as it was. Mm. To be honest, I think Leicester's goal, whilst it comes from a Liverpool mistake, you know, as someone said to me afterwards, if we score that goal, you say we've done everything right. You say we've seen that they're going to be a bit weak from the off. We've pressed them, and then we made a series of very fast passes to carve them open and gone bang, 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 and you go, well, that's a really good Liverpool goal. So I think, you know, you can say that about Leicester's goal as well. I think that the most important thing is that Liverpool get themselves into 100%. They've got to be 100%. And then I think the shape has got to remain absolutely tip-top. And I think a lot of it's going to come down to the fitness of Lallana. I think Lallana, you saw him against Burnley, and it was his first proper game back, and he gives it everything. Often when you had a long layoff and then you come back for game two... It's game two where you look like you're a bit off it, and I thought he looked off it a great deal against Everton. He's got 9 days now to get himself right, and I think if Liverpool can pick a midfield, that's Emre Can, Adam Lallana, and one other, probably Gini Wijnaldum, and then up front go with Mane, Salah and Firmino, then I think that's enough to terrify the life out of Manchester City. You saw...
Is Salah fully fit, is he now?
I think Salah will be fully fit. I'm of the view, Steve, that Salah's not been injured particularly. I think that Salah's been rested. I think Salah's had 2 weeks off because I think that there's been an awareness that Liverpool have been running them into the ground. So I think that Salah's been basically just been put, been wrapped up in cotton wool. Now, I'm fine with that, by the way. And I also, you know, I'm fine with the idea that Liverpool may well be ever so slightly misleading the press and the public. I think that's absolutely fine. It's football. It's not, you know, it's not a matter of life and death, no matter how the quote goes. I think it's fine that, you know, they've been a little bit clever and a little bit cute with him, because I think what they've done is they've allowed him to go and win his award, have a few days, recharge his batteries, and now come back, because he is going to be so important to Liverpool from now until May, that Liverpool do need to have him in the best possible shape. So I'd be stunned if Salah doesn't start against Manchester City, genuinely stunned.
I think we all would. I think you desperately need him. How many Liverpool players actually get in a Manchester City side?
Oh, well,
if you look at the quality that Liverpool have got.
You can flip that around the other way. For instance, I wouldn't, off what you've seen this season, you'd rather have Firmino play number nine than Aguero or Jesus. So there's one. A lot of this depends on what it is that you want and need from those players.
It's a trite question, is it? But there is some relevance to it.
I think you can make an argument.
How far are Liverpool behind Manchester City?
Well, I think you can make an argument with Mane and Salah, despite the fact that Sterling and Sané have both been absolutely brilliant.
Sterling's been outstanding.
He's an astonishing footballer. Yeah. You know, he's someone who might end up being one of the most underrated English players in the last 10 years, even though he is rated. He's such an astonishing, clever footballer. It's ridiculous. And he improves week by week at times under good coaching. You know, you saw that when he was managed by Brendan Rodgers, a manager who's brilliant at improving attacking football. He come on leaps and bounds week after week after week. And I think you're seeing that with Guardiola. But you could make an argument that Mane and Salah will both get in. Mane, even though he's had a slightly fractured season, outscored Sané, you know, so far this campaign. It's when you drop back into midfield, I think that, you know, you would take De Bruyne and Silva ahead of Lallana and Wijnaldum as examples there. I don't think there's a huge distance between Fernandinho, Emre Can or Jordan Henderson. I think that we have a paucity of old style holding midfielders, not just, I think, in the UK, but also in the world game at the minute. I think there's a lot of them who are too conservative, who are too focused on the defensive aspect of the game on the one hand, and on the other hand, there's those who are arguably just a bit too progressive at times, and aren't probably solid enough. And I think Fernandinho, Chan and Henderson all fall into that category. I think they all are want to be more progressive, want to be more box-to-box centre midfielders than classic holders, but they're being asked to be classic holders by their manager, because they'd rather have the ability to move the ball faster, to be more accurate with the passing. So I think that they're much of the muchness for me, and that's a compliment, by the way, towards Fernandinho / Chan / Henderson, in that I think they're all really good. And then you get to the fullbacks, and, you know, so far this season, I think, you know, Kyle Walker goes for that sum, and you probably have him ahead of any of Liverpool's, no matter how well Joe Gomez has done. Mendy isn't fit, but, you know, he's obviously hugely impressive at left-back, and you probably have him ahead of any of Liverpool's. But they're playing Fabian Delph there, and this is, again, a reminder for people who act as though, you know, that everything's always perfect elsewhere, or that no other managers ever have to make a compromise. Well, the Man City manager's playing Fabian Delph left-back, and has been for a couple of months. Last season it was absolutely ridiculous Liverpool wouldn't buy a left back but would play James Milner there. Well, there's no one linking currently Man City to a left back. They're quite happy. They're going to move forward with a lad who plays centre mid but does it from left back. And Delph's done really well. So you perhaps even still take him on the balance given the performances he's put in. But Moreno and Robertson look fine for Liverpool. And then you're at centre back, where I think Stones and Otamendi have both had really good campaigns, but they're helped by how well City have been in front of them. And now Liverpool have spent £75 million on Van Dijk, a player that Man City were trying to buy. And you'd have Man City's goalkeeper. So you go right the way through, and there's three or four maybe where they're no longer debatable. But the most it's ever going to be is debatable. If you're coming up against a side who are capable of going through 20-odd games and not losing, then the most you can hope for your side is when it's man-to-man, it's going to mostly be debatable. And if it is, that means that you're saying you're broadly speaking in their class. And as I say, I don't think the gulf is huge between these two sides. I think Liverpool, there's a couple of areas where they could improve and hopefully will find a way to do so. But I think that one of the core things, and the reason why it's such an interesting game, is that while City have got results this season, they are not, I don't think they're a million miles away from everybody else in the league, and certainly not a million miles away from Liverpool and Chelsea. And I think that other things then become a question around approach as much as personnel. And I think that should be exciting. You know, Liverpool, one of the reasons why Sunday's such an appetising prospect is there's a chance, and I think it's really important it happens, certainly the likes of Coutinho going, there's a chance between now and the end of the season for Liverpool to establish themselves as the only real challengers to Manchester City. If Liverpool can finish second this season and can do things like beat City in a one-off game, pick a trophy up somewhere, then Liverpool can say going into next season, we're up for this. And not just say that inwardly to the supporters, to the management team, to the team itself, create that belief, but also say to the wider footballing world, you want to come and play for us? You want to come and play for us? And the reason why is because we're the nearest to them. If anyone's going to stop them, it's going to be us. If anyone's going to stop them from winning three titles in 3 years, it's Liverpool. Come and play for us.
So a big few months ahead.
It's huge. The league, see, even if you said right now, you know, guarantee Liverpool will finish fourth, well, there'd be part of me saying, well, we should want to finish second. Because finishing second, I think this season will be hugely significant, and it sends a message out to a lot of to the football world that Liverpool aren't, they're not just consolidating a position in the Champions League, but they're genuinely interested in challenging for the Premier League title, not just for 1 year, but for year after year after year, because that's the job. And I think that's now the job more than ever. I think, you know, the idea now, listen, see, if you can play against a side that can go 22 and win 20 and draw 2.
Go on, you've got 20 seconds. So.
Then if they can do that every now and again, then you're not going to win the title. But if there's a year where they slip up and you're able to say, but we can get 90 points, then you'll win it.
Neil's hit 2018 with gusto.
Your guide to Merseyside sport. The kickoff.
Radio City Talk.